Jesus announcing that in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I'll receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you might be also. You see, what Jesus wants more than anything is he wants us to be in his presence. He wants to be in our presence because he loves us. His love is great. You know, when we look at this coming week, and I believe it's, is it Tuesday or Wednesday, is Valentine's Day, one of those days, and the world has a tendency to say that all we need is love. Or they might say something, just an old-fashioned love song coming down in three-part harmony. Over and over and over, endless songs about love. But do they really understand what love is all about? Do we really understand what God's love for us is like? Love is the center of most people's attention. It's a subject of innumerable songs, poems, and of course this week, Valentine's. But what really is love? How does it work? Take a look, if you will, and follow me along in John chapter 14 as we read through verses 15 to 20, and we talk about how love is practice. In verse 15, if you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But you know him, for he dwelleth with you, and shall be in you, and I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more. But ye see me, because I live. Ye shall live also. At that day ye shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. And you know, so often as we go and we start talking about John chapter 14, everybody gets enraptured with the idea that God is preparing a place for us in heaven. And that is all wonderful, and that is one of the great gifts of our salvation. But I don't really think that's where the first priority on the Lord's list is. The first priority on the Lord's list is he wants to show his love for us, not by giving us a future place, but by loving us right here, right now. And so he starts out in that passage and he says, if you love me. He's already expressed his love to them. He's expressed his promises to them. He expressed all this truth about his love for them. But he says, if you love me. You see, there is a reciprocation that needs to be gotten here. There has to be a response on our behalf. And when we go to love, what does it mean to love? Well, the world might say that it's a kiss, it's a hug, it's an embrace, it's this funny, overwhelming feeling, it's something unique that happens. But Jesus here says, if you love me, here's how you can express it. Keep my commandments. There's an impossible task. Even if we just kept the two simple commandments that the Lord gave, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy strength. That's hard enough. I don't know about you, but I get consumed with everything else that's going on around me. And yet he says, if you love me, keep my commandments. And so it is with that thought that we have to say, how can I love the Lord? Love endeavors to keep the commandments, the requests of the one loved. It is not a matter of duty. I got to do this. It's a matter of respect. I care for you enough that I am going to do as you have asked me. Behind that, there might be the thought, well, I really don't want to do that. I don't like doing that, but I'm going to do it anyhow because I love you. So I keep your commandments. And so Jesus here is telling his disciples, I'm going to leave you. I'm going to go away. But while I'm away, if you truly love me, I want you to endeavor to keep my commandments. Love provides a source of comfort, a comfort that is not transient or that will leave, the love that will not come from an individual, but may come through avenues they set up and make sure are in place to provide, guide, and assist. You see, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter. You see, in that love, as we seek to love the Lord and follow his commandments, God says that I'm going to provide you an avenue by which you can accomplish that task, and I'm going to do that by praying to God my Father that he might give you another comforter. Another comforter? Does that mean I have two blankets? No. Another comforter in the sense that Jesus has been there. He's been walking with him for 3 years. He's comforted him through a lot of situations and times. They've managed to marvel and see all that God is doing. And now he's going to depart. And when he departs, he says, I'm going to give you somebody that can fill my place. Somebody that can walk alongside of you. Somebody that can talk and show you the truths of the scriptures. I'm going to give you somebody that's going to motivate you to keep my commandments. I'll give you another comforter. You see, folks, we don't have to wait until we get to heaven to enjoy the glories of heaven. God has promised that he's going to give the glory of himself to us in the form of the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, that will abide within us, that will help us to manifest our love towards God by making us willing to obey his commandments, by the willingness to not just love God with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our strength, but also to begin to love our neighbor as ourselves. Can you imagine loving somebody with as much love as you love yourself? I mean, you take care of yourself, right? You do all these things for yourself. You have your hobbies. You have your favorite show. You have your team that you're rooting for today and all those things. But no, we need to love our neighbor as ourselves. That's a hard task. And yet it says, if you love me, keep my commandments. The only way you're going to be able to do that is through the comforter that I'm going to give you when I'm departed. And he will be with you. He will abide with you forever. Now, right now, the Comforter is abiding with you. That doesn't mean he's up here and speaking down at you. It means that he's coming up and he's sitting right now. I know she got scared, didn't she? And he's going to sit right down there with you where you can just turn and whisper to him. And he can whisper back to you. And he can talk to the heart and not to the head. You see, that comforter, the one that abides with you, he lives with you. That's kind of scary too. Because if he lives you, that means he sees everything else that you're doing. Yet, you know what the marvel is? Despite all those things that you're doing, he doesn't run away. He's still there with you. He's still there caring with you. He's still there whispering, Are you sure you want to do that? You know? Because if we love him, we'll keep his commandments, and those things that we're doing are contrary to his commandments. So he's prompting us to continue to show love. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. And then the passage goes on, and it says, even the Spirit of truth. Okay, so now we're talking about God's truth. No lies in this. Can you imagine? No lies? Can you imagine your own life without lies? I mean, how many lies are you telling me right now? By the way you're dressed, by the way you are paying attention or not paying attention, by the way you're sitting. You're telling me a lot of things, aren't you? And yet here Jesus is saying, I will be with you and I will give you the Spirit of truth. I'm going to be honest with you, God says. That means God's going to say, no, that's not it. That's not loving me. That's not being my commandment. Here's what the truth is. Even the Spirit of the truth, whom the world, it says, cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But you know him, for he dwelleth in you, and shall with you, and shall be in you. So, it is wonderful that we have a comforter. And the thing that we need to realize is as we have this comforter, this Spirit of truth that's revealing things to us, the world around us is not going to understand it at all. They can't hear him. They can't see him. He's not abiding with them. He may be working on them, but he's not abiding with them. And so they're not going to see the same things you and I see. They're not going to understand the same things that you and I understand because they don't have the Spirit of truth to translate that for them. It's in a foreign language to them. They can't understand what true love is. So now they've translated into it's a sexual attraction. It's a warm and fuzzy feelings. It's something that only happens in rare occasions. It's something I have now and it'll leave later. Love is something that totally satisfies me. But that's not what love is it? But they can't recognize it. They can't see that. We can, because it tells us that the Spirit of God dwelleth with you. In other words, he's right on. Not only that, but he's also, he says, he abides in you. So he goes back and repeats what he said already. But now he's saying, You know why? You have a unique gift. If you're here today and you've truly been born again, if you've asked the Lord Jesus to be your Savior, you recognize Him as God the Father and God the Son, all in one, and you put your faith and trust in Him, then at that moment, that Holy Spirit comes down and He says, Joe, open up, I'm coming in. And He plants Himself in the middle of your soul, your spirit, your heart, your kidney, whatever you want to call it, that inner part that nobody else can see. There is sitting Jesus. There is sitting Jesus trying to help you to understand what it means to love Him by keeping His commandments. He's there to remind you that here's a commandment. Hey, how about this one? This morning in Sunday school in Isaiah chapter 17, we talked about the fact that one of the things that we have to do if we truly want to be rewarded of God is to avoid unholy alliances, to not be unequally yoked together. There's that need for separation, and we say, oh, I don't want to separate from my friends. But we talked about that. And here the Spirit of God begins to reveal those truths to us about what it's going to take to love Jesus. Not only does He reveal what it's going to take, but He says that because He lives in us, He's going to motivate us, kind of like an inner motor that helps us to find the energy to keep driving in the direction of bringing ourselves into a closer and closer obedience to Jesus and His commandments. Because why?
Because
I want it to get awkward. Because He wants us to love Him. He's willing to help us. So, there we have love as how it should be practiced. If you want to love God, if you want to love your neighbor, then you're going to have to realize that God has placed His Holy Spirit in you now. That down payment, that guarantee of heaven is in you now to help you to understand the truths necessary to love Him. Beth, can you put the speakers on mute for right now?
They are on mute. That just unmuted it, and now it's...
Okay.
It might be the wind.
So we have that constant presence of the One who's dear to us. So the Holy Spirit is God's Valentine's card to us, saying, I love you. And I'm glad that you are my Valentine. Will you be mine? Will we love the Lord? Will we obey His commandments? Will we seek to do that? Salvation is not just a ticket to heaven and freedom from the wages of sin, but is a love relationship between our Creator God, our sacrificing Savior Jesus, and our lives on earth right now. Jesus did not just die. He arose and provided the Comforter to show us the power of the resurrection that is available to each of us to enable and steer us towards keeping His commandments, to help us learn to love one another and to love God, to help us sacrifice our wants, wishes, and desires in order to meet the needs of others, to help us sacrifice our wants, wishes, and desires that are contrary to the will of God, so we can please our Father that is in heaven. That is His will, that His will might be done here on earth. Let's go move on in our passage as we talk about the power of love in verses 21 through 26. So John 14, 21 to 26. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him, and will manifest myself to him. Judas saith unto him, not Iscariot, Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us and not unto the world? Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words. And my Father will love him, and he will come unto him, and make our abode with him. He that loveth me not, keepeth not my sayings. And the word which ye hear is not mine, but the Father which sent me. These things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring all things to remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. So, taking a look at that, starting with verse 21, it says, he that hath my commandments. He that hath my commandments. We cannot fully appreciate the commandments of God without the gift of salvation. We cannot understand all the difficulties and the way that he can wash us without understanding that. So those of us that are believers, it says, he that hath my commandments and keepeth them. So are we keeping them? Do we treasure them? Are we trying to fulfill them? First of all, we have to lock them up in our heart. Then we have to allow the Holy Spirit to begin to transpire and change us from the inside out so that we can actually begin to be obedient to them. He that keepeth them, it says, he it is that loveth me. The only way that we can ever show God love is by endeavoring to keep his commandment. His first and foremost commandment is that today, if you do not know the Lord Jesus as your Savior, if you're not convinced that the Holy Spirit is abiding in you, that you will believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved. And this is life eternal, that you might know the Father and his Son. That is the first thing that we need to do. That's the first commandment we need to keep. And then it says that if we will show that, if we will endeavor to keep those commandments, we will endeavor to live by those commandments, then it says the Father will love him. Now he's given you a gift of salvation, but now it's a matter of beginning to enhance that relationship, beginning to refine that relationship, beginning to make it even more valuable, more dependable, more anchoring for the individual that's receiving it. And it's not just the love of the Father, but it's the love of Jesus, he says. And he goes on and he says there, shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him, and I will manifest myself to him. When we begin to walk and rely on the Holy Spirit to help us obey the commandments and show love towards God, then what happens is God begins to manifest himself to us. Like God manifested himself to Moses in the wilderness, to the point that it changed his countenance, it changed his appearance, it changed his stutter, it changes so many things. When God begins to manifest himself in our lives, when we are obedient, he begins to change us in so many miraculous ways. It is wonderful to see what God does, but it begins with us saying, Lord, I thank you for saving me. I want to be obedient. Please, Lord, help me keep your commandments. And Lord, as I do this, as I begin, I mean, I get astounded. I get absolutely excited. I sit in awe and say, why me, Lord? When I sit down and I start reading the Bible and all of a sudden the truth comes to light to me, and I say, wow, what a difference. You see, that's God manifesting himself to me. It can be the fact that I can sit back and I can say, wow, my car got hit by a deer and I got totaled out and I had to get it totaled out. Well, guess what? Praise the Lord, it got totaled out at the same price I was trying to sell it for. There's God's provision. Didn't happen the way I wanted it to, but it happened. You see, God manifests what he is doing and how he is doing it, and we begin to see his hand. But it begins by us starting to try to love him, by allowing that Holy Spirit to dwell in us, to instruct us and to teach us in the ways we should go, to allow him to guide us with his very own eyes. It requires that. We want that. We all say, I want the Lord to manifest himself to us. And then we go out and we do donuts in the church's field out here and with our truck and tear the field up. And we go and do self-centered things that are going on. And we don't really seek to keep his commandments. We seek to meet our own needs, our own selfishness. And we wonder why the Lord hasn't not manifested himself to us. God wants to. God desires to. But he's waiting for you to get hold of the power of the Holy Spirit and allow him to show love to you and through you. That we might love God with all our heart, with all our soul, and with all our strength, and to love our neighbor as ourselves. I will manifest myself to him. Judas saith unto him, I love this, not Iscariot. You got to understand how I find it kind of very interesting because, you know, it was just two or three, or actually about 10 verses before that we were talking about Judas, but we were talking about Judas the betrayer, Judas Iscariot. And now he's getting into a deeper conversation, and now comes Judas, and Judas has to say something, and it's kind of like saying John and John and John, okay? Judas was a popular name, and he said, Judas, not Iscariot, okay? So this is the guy that's still there. This isn't the guy that betrayed the Lord. This is one who's trying to figure things out. And it said, Judas, not Iscariot, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us and not unto the world? Does that make sense to you? Do you understand what he's trying to ask? Okay, Jesus, we've been here. We've seen your miracles. We've seen how you work. We've seen all the great things. We've listened to your messages. We've been here. We've experienced that. And you say you're going to leave us and we'll still be able to understand you. But how are you going to show the rest of the world? How are they going to see the mighty God that saves? Good question, don't you think? How are you going to manifest yourself to the world? And so Jesus has an answer for that too. Because he says, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and he will come unto me, unto him, and make our abode. So how is the world going to see Jesus? By the Spirit of God that's abiding in you, that you're allowing to change your heart, because now you're becoming obedient to his commandments. Imagine the world seeing somebody that loves them no matter how they're dressed or what they look like. Somebody who's willing to accept them the way they are. That is a testimony of Jesus being revealed to the world. That is about. We can see it, we experience it, but they don't even see that. They're looking for it in you. You are the epistle that is to be written. But it's only going to happen when you allow the Holy Spirit to bring you to that point of obedience. And he goes on, He that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings, and the word which ye hear is not mine, but the Father which sent me. These things I have spoken unto you, being present with you. So now he goes on, he says, look, I've spoken to you, you've heard my words, and I've never spoken my own words, I've only spoken what's of the Father. And we don't fully appreciate that, I don't think, because we don't have that strong Jewish descent, we don't have that strong belief that there's only one God. The Lord thy God is one God, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy strength. And we forget about the fact that the Jews believed that there was only one person. Here was Jesus, a man, standing in front of them, and they could not understand how this man standing in front of them could possibly be God. But he says, that's the way it is. He that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings, and the words which ye hear is not mine, but the Father which sent me. I'm just the messenger. You're still worshiping God Almighty. You're still worshiping him, even though you call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. You're still worshiping the God the Father, because everything that Jesus has spoken is directly from the Father. These things I have spoken unto you, being yet present with you. So I'm here. I'm able to carry a conversation with you. And in one sense, you can say that Jesus is working to prepare his disciples for the fact that he's going to go be gone. Within hours, possibly a day. We're not too sure exactly the timeline right now, this particular verse and the rest of the story, the crucifixion. But Jesus will be hung on a cross. He will expire. He will go down into the grave, and he will rise up again victorious on the third day. They don't know that, but he's saying, I'm preparing you for that moment. And he goes on and says, that these things I've spoken unto you while I'm here, I've said all these things, but remember how this all started. I'm leaving you. I'm going to be taken away. I'm going to be killed by the religious leaders. I'm going to die on the cross of Calvary. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I've said unto you. So now he goes back to the very beginning, and he talks about the fact that, okay, I'm going to leave, but you don't have to worry about the fact that I'm leaving. And this all goes back to Judas saying, well, how's the world going to know? And you're not going to be here in this physical world that we know, so how are we going to know? Because but the Comforter, which the Father will send when Jesus is left. Do you realize that if Jesus had stayed here on the earth, you and I would never have the Comforter able to abide in us? That is a gift for those that have never seen Jesus. It's a gift that abides in our hearts, and it allows us and teaches us. And it says that I'll instruct him. So he instructs us. He teaches us. Because Jesus isn't here to teach us. He's a substitute. He's the perfect example of a substitute. And he teaches us only the things of the Father, just like Jesus did. And so, but the Comforter, I will give you the Comforter. What are you lacking in your spiritual life today? Is that love for Jesus fervent? Or is that love for Jesus stymied because of disobedience? Right? If you love me, you'll keep my commandments. Therefore, if we're not keeping his commandments, we're not necessarily loving him as fully as we could. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with. Right? And it's stymied. It's hindered. God is not manifesting himself to us because we are not asking the Spirit of God to show us what needs to change, to show us how to become obedient, to show us the next step in our lives. What direction should I take? How many of you sit down and let's say that all of a sudden you've been, most of you retired, so this doesn't make much sense, but let's go with it anyhow. All of a sudden you're offered a great job opportunity in Kentucky. Don't know why I chose Kentucky. Just chose Kentucky. Good offer. Good benefits. Nice community. Nothing you wouldn't like. How many of you at that point are going to say, Lord Jesus, is this what you want me to do? What is it that I should be doing? What about these areas in your life? The areas of obedience. Are you looking to God to guide you? Are you looking for the Holy Spirit to comfort you, to give you assurance that what you're going to decide is in the will of God? But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things. There is not a single thing that God does not want to help you with, including the sale of your car, including the choice of another car. I just use those because those are the out there things. But what about the next purchase you make? What about the next trip that you take? What about the next person that you interact with? Do you see that God is guiding every one of those, and that the Holy Spirit is behind it, trying to shape you and bring you into a greater place of love that God might manifest himself to you? So now we move on, and he says, listen to this in verse 27. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Do you understand that what Jesus has done here? Jesus now has jumped back to the beginning of chapter 14. My peace I give unto you. And he tells him, peace I leave with you. How is he going to leave peace with them? We're talking about a violent crucifixion. We're talking about violent rejection. We're talking about these people scrambling and not knowing what end is going. And he says, I'm going to give you peace. How can that peace be? Because he's just told them, I am going to give you the Comforter. He is going to give you tranquility in the midst of chaos. He's going to be able to say, I don't like what's going on, but God has this under control. I can rest. I can have peace in that fact. Peace I leave you. My peace I give you. But this isn't the way the world thinks of peace. The world thinks of peace is two people not fighting. But that God thinks of peace is something far more than that. He thinks that it is a place of tranquility in the midst of turmoil. And he goes on and he says, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to remembrance. Ye have heard how I said unto you, I go away and come again unto you. If you love me, you would rejoice, because I said, I go unto my Father, and my Father is greater than all. You know, can you imagine These men are about to lose their rabbi, their teacher, their best friend, their confidant, their companion for the last 3 years. And he says, I'm going to give you peace. And if you really understood the fullness of the depth of the story, you would rejoice. Because I'm going to provide salvation for the world. I'm going to provide a comforter for you. And you will rejoice and not be sorrowed when you see these things transpire. And he goes on to say, you have heard it said, I go away and come again unto you. If you love me, you would rejoice, because I said, I go unto the Father, and my Father is greater than I. Now I have told you before it came to pass, that when it comes to pass you might believe. Hereinafter I will not talk much of you, for the prince of the world is come. The world cometh and hath nothing in me. Now that the world may know that I love the Father, and as the Father gave me commandment, even so do I. So I do. Arise, let us go hence. And so the moment is come. The devil now has control of this situation, he thinks. The only control he has is the control that God has given him. But his disciples are supposed to rejoice. They're supposed to rejoice because God the Father is in control. And my friends, today, the only way that you're ever going to come to that state of peace and understanding is you begin at the very beginning. If you love me, keep my commandments. But you can't take that as an isolated verse all there by itself. You have to also take it with the fact that the only way that you're ever going to become able to obey his commandments is by listening to the Spirit of God that he has placed in you to speak with you, to direct you, to always be there with you, and allow him to direct your path. Folks, we need to get excited. We need to be saying, Lord, change my behavior. Lord, remove this selfish tendency from me. Lord, remove this bad habit from me. Lord Jesus, come and work in me, and realize that when we do that, the Holy Spirit begins to teach and instruct. He begins to convict, and he begins to guide. He begins to comfort us. We need to learn to rely upon that. We are still stuck in our heads thinking we understand what's going on, and we're not yielding to the Spirit of God that he's put within us. And we wonder why we're not growing. We're not growing because we're not loving him. We're not loving him because we're not listening to the Spirit of God. We're not allowing him to function and stir our lives up. We want control. Lord, be out there and knock, and you can pass a note in, and if I like it, I'll do it. No, he says, open the door and I will come in and sup with you and you with me. And he wants to sit down and have conversations and walk us through every single thing that we wrestle with, so that we can come to a place of peace. Peace. Peace with God. Peace with ourselves. Peace with those around us. Not necessarily in agreement. That's not what peace is all about. But able to stand in the midst of the turmoil. The question is, are you really looking for that Spirit to instruct you on how to love him, how to keep his commandments? Are you depending upon him to do that? I can't answer those questions for you. I can be here, I can give an invitation, we can sit down and talk maybe in depth on a particular item or whatever. But the main thing is, are you willing to yield to the Spirit of God today? And if you have no desire, and if all this seems like a foreign language, then may I say, let's start with the basics. Admit, you made a mess of this life. Admit, your life isn't really what you want it to be. Believe that Jesus Christ can change that, and that he paid everything that was necessary for that change to be implemented. He paid with his life so that the Holy Spirit could live within you and call upon the name of the Lord, so that you can be saved, delivered from these selfish tendencies, delivered from a tendency to not keep his commandments, delivered from a tendency to not love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy strength. The question is, what are you going to do with it? You're going to say, well, I'm glad he's over. That sermon's done. Let's get on with other things. Are you truly going to let it stir you apart? and bring you to a point of stronger commitment to what the Spirit of God wants to do in you. May I remind you, He will never force Himself upon you. He's not going to force change on you. He's waiting for you to say, I love you enough, I'm willing to surrender. Spirit of God, fall fresh on you. Melt, mold, make me into something that loves the Lord thy God with all my heart, with all my strength. Stand. Let's sing invitation. Let that burden be lifted at Calvary. Let Jesus be very near, not in the sense of the Holy Spirit. Are you hearing the Spirit of God stir your heart today? Is He prompting you to make a decision that it's time to say yes? Whether in your seat or coming forward to the altar, whatever it is, you be obedient. Let the Spirit of God work.